This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Apologies, a few minutes late, which is never good for the Israel Report. How are you?
Boker Tov, feeling a little overwhelmed with so much information coming out from all sides. We've got, you know, President Trump visiting China. We've got quite a lot of instability going on at the moment in the UK, with the Prime Minister's position being challenged. And we've got lots of different bits of information which are coming out. Interestingly, the US Energy Secretary Chris Wright has said that Iran is what he describes as frighteningly close to developing a nuclear weapon. Those were his words that he used. He said there are weeks, a small number of weeks away, to enrich that to weapons-grade uranium. There's still a weaponization process that happens after that, but they're quite close to constructing nuclear weapons. And listeners might remember that over the last few years, we've heard so many different versions of exactly how much enriched uranium there is and to what extent it's been enriched and how close it might be to weapons grade. And we really get so confused by, baffled by all of this information because so much of it seems contradictory. But that's a relatively clear statement that as far as the U.S. administration is concerned, Iran is what they call frighteningly close to developing a nuke weapon. So it just kind of puts the whole Iran conflict into a certain context. And the fact that President Trump is holding out because the main negotiations don't seem to center around the nuclear issue, I think is still very much the right approach.
Yeah, it is so scary, I think, how close it came. The Prime Minister's office has said that Prime Minister Netanyahu visited the UAE during the recent war. Interesting that the UAE is denying these reports. What now?
So the question is why the Prime Minister decided to make this public in the first place, and it seems like whatever he did wasn't done in cooperation with the UAE. But it seems to me that the governing coalition and the Prime Minister is going on to an election footing. And I think that this piece of information would have been considered to be quite important and potentially influential in making the Prime Minister look more electable in the upcoming election. We do understand that a bill has already been presented to the Knesset that may well dissolve the Knesset in the next very few days. And that an election will then be officially declared, even though that election might still be 4 or 5 months away. But we certainly feel like we're going on to an election footing. And the Prime Minister made this statement. It's very, very vague. He says that there was this visit to the UAE during Operation Roaring Lion. And he said that the visit led to an historic breakthrough in relations between Israel and the UAE. Exactly how historic and what the breakthrough was, nobody really knows, but that's all we're being told. The UAE have come out saying, we know nothing about this. Nobody visited us recently, and we would be very transparent about it. Interestingly, the Iranians have come out saying, oh, we knew about this. We were tracking the fact that Prime Minister Netanyahu was visiting the UAE. I don't think so. I think that sounds a little too blasé, and I have little doubt that the Iranians would definitely have tried to have targeted Prime Minister Netanyahu if they knew that he was flying in airspace that's only 100 kilometers away from the Iranian border. So I'm not sure that the Iranians can validly claim, oh, we knew about it all along. But it's interesting that the UAE have come out denying this. And they, I think, feel that this is not necessarily working in their favor with everything that's going on with Iran right now. Interestingly, it was also disclosed that the UAE and indeed Saudi Arabia and potentially even Iraq all carried out attacks against Iran during the recent war. So it wasn't only Israel and the USA that were carrying out these attacks, but indeed other countries from around the Gulf area that apparently also carried out specific attacks. So all of this is going into a big mixing pot somewhere, and we're kind of trying to process what the significance of it is. My take on the Prime Minister's announcement that he visited the UAE is that it's a part of his election campaign to present him in a more positive light to people, that they can take on the fact that not only that he managed to do so during the war, that he was willing to travel there during the war, which seems a very dangerous thing to do, that he traveled to the UAE in order to try somehow to progress the Abraham Accords, that there were the Iron Dome cell with soldiers that was located in the UAE to help defend them. I think all of that helps his election campaign. And we don't really know what he was doing there. And then why it would have been so critical for him to fly there at such a dangerous time and such an unlikely time, when one would think that he should be at home in the bunker conducting activities surrounding the war and not endangering himself by flying to the UAE when the Iranians claim they knew all about the fact that he was there. So all of this, you know, we just have to process it and understand what the significance of it is. But it's interesting nonetheless that it's come out. And I suppose in the fullness of time, we will be able to put it into some sort of a context.
I want to leave time to talk about Yom Yerushalayim, which is tonight. But let's just talk about the IDF carried out a series of clinical attacks against vehicles on the move in Lebanon yesterday. Do we know what this was about?
Well, this was a very interesting set of events. We heard one report after another that the IDF had used drones and used aeroplanes in order to attack vehicles that were on the move in different parts of Lebanon. And none of it really seemed to be well coordinated. In other words, these are not vehicles that were on the border with Israel or potentially seemed to even pose some sort of a risk to Israel. And then I saw a very, very interesting map which located each of the strikes. And when you look at it on a map, it kind of draws a certain picture. And the picture that it seems to draw is of vehicles moving from the Syrian border across Lebanon and southward down the coastal road towards, I'm not quite sure what location, down on the southern part of Lebanon on the coast. But there does seem to be a very, very clear route that these vehicles were following. And the interpretation of that is this is all about moving arms and ammunition and equipment from the Syrian border across to strategic places in Lebanon. And that yesterday, the IDF was carrying out attacks against logistical movements, against the movement of arms and ammunition that could potentially in the future present a risk to Israel. And of course, all of this is about intelligence, knowing exactly what's moving from where and when exactly it'll be moving and being able to identify the specific vehicle that's involved with these movements. So that particular map was interesting because once you join the dots together, it seemed to map out this movement from the Syrian border, from the east side of Lebanon on the Syrian border, across the country and then down south along the coastal road. Nothing much more was said about that from the IDF's perspective, not really commenting in detail about it. But I thought it was a very fascinating set of attacks that were carried out, something like 7 or 8 all in all, which is quite significant all in one day.
Let's talk about Yom Yerushalayim, 59 years since the unification of Jerusalem. What is the significance of this day?
Well, I think there are a number of different significances. First of all, listeners might be aware of the fact that the unification of Jerusalem came during the 1967 Six-Day War, when the east side of Jerusalem was captured from the Jordanians. And let's just put the picture in place that before the 1967 war, the east side of Jerusalem was governed by Jordan, Gaza was governed by Egypt, the Golan Heights was governed by Syria, And the area of the Sinai was also part of Egypt. And more than that, the area which is today called the West Bank, the area that is partially under the control of the Palestinian Authority, partially under Israel's control right now, that area was all part of Jordan. And aside from the emotional significance and the euphoria that is associated with unifying Jerusalem, which is clearly our eternal capital, and more than that, having access to the Temple Mount, which is the holiest site in Judaism, that, you know, was obviously very, very significant in the famous words that were uttered when the Temple Mount finally was captured by Israeli troops, that the Temple Mount is now in our hands, the Yadenu, but now in our hands, was the initial the call that came out over the radio to send people into a real frenzy of euphoria, because finally Jews had access to the holiest site in Judaism. But I would like to make another point about Yom Yerushalayim and the Six-Day War in general, that we often hear the call of returning to the pre-67 lines. This is something that is pushed out by many anti-Israelis, so-called pro-Palestinians, that Israel should return to the 1967 borders. Let's be clear that when those 1967 borders were in place in the period between 1948 and 1967, there was never any attempt to create a Palestinian state. They had that land. Jordan governed some of it. Egypt governed some of it. Syria governed some of it. There was never a call that went out from a so-called Palestinian people, as we know them today, to say, let's take those pieces of land and let's create a Palestinian state from these 1967 borders. There was never any attempt. There was never such a movement. There was never an attempt to try to create a so-called Palestinian state. Once that land was under Arab control, it was considered to be okay, but not enough. Because as we now know, there was a buildup of forces that was about to attack Israel, even though the 1967 borders were in place, their forces were about to attack Israel to claim the rest of the country that was under Jewish control. And of course, the preemptive strike that was carried out by the IDF and the clinical nature of the way in which this war was executed ensured the continued survival of Israel. And not only that, pushed back the Arab armies away from Israel's borders to the borders that we now know. And so the question is, why then would people call for us to go back to the 1967 borders? What is the significance of that? At the time that was in existence, there was no attempt to create a Palestinian state. Why now do we think that going back to the 1967 borders would be a good thing? Well, of course, you know, some of us think we know the answer, which is that this is really just all about tactics to try and move the Jews out from wherever they happen to be. And now that we have more than what was available in the 1967 borders, pushing us back to the 1967 borders would be considered to be some sort of a victory, some sort of progress in ultimately getting rid of us completely. And that is the reason, listeners, why Israel says, no, we are not going to agree to the 1967 borders, because we remember when they were in place that even that wasn't enough. So I think when we talk about the unification of Jerusalem and celebrate tonight and tomorrow, as we will do, the unification of the city of Jerusalem and celebrate it as our eternal capital, let's also celebrate our state, because that was also part of what happened during that 1967 Six-Day War, that we managed to gain certain security for our state. And we know over the last 3 years that we've really needed whatever we've been able to get, whatever we have in our hands has been really critical in keeping us here and keeping us alive. And we're determined for that to continue in the future.
Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Wishing you a Yom Yerushalayim Sameach. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a peaceful Shabbat. And we'll catch you on Monday morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.